Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. On April 15, 2002, the Zetas described as a scripted drama the steps in continental crunching and ripping apart that will occur during the hour of the pole shift. And I quote from Zeta Talk, "Scripted drama," written April 2002. As the South Pole, gripped by the passing North Pole of Planet X, moves north, the crust is torn from the core and freed in this way, allowing pre-existing stress points to relax. Thus, Europe and Africa move further east, allowing the Atlantic to rip apart during the slide northward. The immediate effect of the massive plate housing Europe and Russia and the Near East to move is felt most strongly in India, as the Himalayas are driven over India at this point, effectively submerging this country in a wink. The effect of the Indo-Australia plate taking a dive under the Himalayas is to relieve tension along the African Rift, such that this tears, promptly, but in shuddering steps with halting adjustments, pauses between shudders. In essence, the movement eastward of the African continent is a momentum creating this tear. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Zetas stated on April 5, 2002, that pre-shift quakes can be expected to fall along these lines. And I quote from Zeta Talk, "Pre-shift quakes," written April 2002. Stretching results in quakes as the plates underneath in layers like flaky pie crusts release. Stretching results in land not supporting prior buildings or roads or bridges, which suddenly collapse. Stretching also results in volcanoes oozing more lava, or if the skin of the earth thins, an explosion. This could occur in all those areas we have listed as expected to rip greatly: the Red Sea, the African Rift, etc. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Termed the stretch zone, those parts of the globe, including the African Rift, rip because the plate cannot move and must therefore rip apart. This was described again by the Zetas on September 11, 2004, and I quote from Zeta Talk, "Stretch Zone," written September 11, 2004. Tear points are where the catch points are easing, letting go and separating, and rarely let themselves be known unless a drop in elevation suddenly occurs. Places such as the St. Lawrence Seaway, the Red Sea, and African Rift in Kenya, and the Parana River Basin near Buenos Aires. Confused investigators look for reasons for disasters that will have their etiology in Earth quietly pulling apart, rock flakes pulling away rather than pressed together, so that no quake occurs. The stretch zone is that sinking feeling where support weakens, the ground sinks, and silently so. We have repeatedly stated that the Earth changes will not diminish, but will increase going into the pole shift. The plates are tugged back west of the Atlantic, pulled forward east of the Atlantic during the daily rotation of the Earth. These stretch zone accidents will continue to emerge, and with ferocity, the influence of Planet X is the cause. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The African Rift area is, therefore, per the Zeta Talk predictions, expected to rip during the pre-shift stress that Planet X is visiting on the Earth. Well, has it? Big time. By March 15, 2006, the African rip was astonishing. And I quote from an article called "A Continent Splits Apart," dated March 15, 2006. Normally new rivers, seas, and mountains are born in slow motion. The Afar Triangle near the Horn of Africa is another story. A new ocean is forming there with staggering speed. at least by geological standards. Africa will eventually lose its horn. Geologist Derje Alawi and his colleagues from Addis Ababa University were amazed and frightened. They had only just stepped out of their helicopter into the desert plains of central Ethiopia when the ground began to shake under their feet. The pilot shouted for the scientists to get back to the helicopter, and then it happened. The earth split open. Crevices began racing toward the researchers like a zipper opening up. Normally, changes in our geological environment take place almost imperceptibly. A lifetime is too short to see rivers changing course, mountains rising skyward, or valleys opening up. In northeastern Africa's Afar Triangle, though, recent months have seen hundreds of crevices splitting the desert floor, and the ground has slumped by as much as 100 meters, or 328 feet. At the same time, scientists have observed magma rising from deep below as it begins to form what will eventually become a basalt ocean floor. Geologically speaking, it won't be long until the Red Sea floods the region. End of the quote. So, are the Zetas right again here on the African Rift as part of the pre-pole shift quakes opening and ripping up? What can I say? Zeta's right again. Another rip point is the St. Lawrence Seaway in the entire southeast of the United States. On February 10, 2006, the Zetas explained why stretch zones occur. The plates are locked in such a way that the continent landmass cannot turn while the Atlantic widens. The Zetas also warned that the North American continent can expect dramatic stretch zone adjustments soon. And I quote from Zeta Talk, North American Rift, written February 10, 2006. We've discussed what we call the stretch zone, where a landmass is pulled apart so that the rock flakes will pull across each other silently, creating sinkholes and rifts and manifesting as broken gas and water mains and derailing trains. These stretch zones have dramatically expressed themselves in the African Rift area and in the southeast United States and in the UK during the past couple years. When Planet X arrived in the inner solar system in 2003, and began seriously tugging at the highly magnetized Atlantic Rift, it accentuated the stretch on either side of the Atlantic. What went unstated during these discussions is why a stretch zone occurs. Look at South America on the large South American plate. As the Atlantic is pulled apart, the Pacific compresses. It is required to have the upper part migrate to the west more than the tip, which is anchored at Antarctica. It moves as a whole in the main, crunching the small plates in the Caribbean and Central America as it does so, and popping the plate holding the Galapagos Islands, which lies just to the west of South America. It can move, in short, but what of the African and North American plates? The African Rift is caused because Africa is not free to move. It is bulbous at the north end and comes to a tip at the south end. It is anchored at the south end, at South Africa, so when the Atlantic pulls apart, the bulbous northern part of the African plate moves directly eastward, yawing open the African Rift along the Red Sea, which is also widening. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Do we have increasing evidence that the stretch zone in North America, where, as the Zetas state, Maine is pulled eastward while Mexico is pulled back toward the west, creating a diagonal pull? Indeed, in the rash of mining disasters from Canada through West Virginia to Mexico in early 2006, when rock is pulled apart, methane gas in pockets is released. And I quote from an email I received. University of Maine geologists reported in December in the Portland Press Herald on December 26, 2005, that dozens of methane fields off the coast of Maine were releasing large amounts of gas, disrupting the ocean floor and creating massive bubbles. End of the quote. And I quote from an article, "Workers Try to Reach Trapped Mexican Miners," dated February 20, 2006. Rescue workers were burrowing through debris clogging a Mexican coal mine early Monday in a desperate effort to reach some 65 miners who were trapped for more than a day by a gas explosion. A federal labor official told reporters during a news conference at the site that officials found nothing unusual during a routine evaluation on February 7. Last month, 14 miners died in two separate accidents at mines in West Virginia in the United States. Two men died in a fire January 21st at a mine in Melville, nearly 3 weeks after an explosion near Hallmansville. In Canada last month, 72 potash workers walked away from an underground fire and toxic smoke after being locked down overnight in airtight chambers packed with enough oxygen, food, and water for several days. End of the quote. In fact, in all of these mining accidents, as I recall, only one in West Virginia, which was claimed to be caused by a lightning strike, had a cause. All others were just explosions for unknown reasons. However, rock pulling apart will release methane pockets, as occurred September 2005 when there was a stench of rotting cabbage from one coast to the other and in the UK. So, were the Zetas right about the stretch effect on the southeast United States, from Mexico to Maine? Indeed, these mining accidents went from Mexico up through West Virginia and Kentucky, and up into eastern Canada, in precisely that line. What can I say? Zeta's right again. Another vintage Zeta Talk statement was that during the week of rotation stoppage, the strain between the core of the Earth, which wants to continue to rotate, and the crust, which is held firm by the grip Planet X has on the Atlantic Rift, will cause the Earth to moan and groan. And I quote from Zeta Talk, "Groaning," written February 1999. "The moaning of the earth is akin to material snapping, screeching rock strata pulling across other strata, and vibrations of rock strata under tension." End of the quote from Zeta Talk. After the December 26, 2004 great tsunami quake in Sumatra, this moaning was reported in February 2005. And I quote, "The Hindustani paper on the Nicobar Islands report ground noise so loud people are moving away because they can't sleep at night. Of 9 million reeds, there are 36 languages talking about ground noise." End of the quote. Who's telling it to you straight and on the money regarding what to expect in the stretch zone and during the increasing stress the Earth will undergo going into the shift? Hey, what can I say? Zeta's right again. In 1999, the Zetas predicted that tornadoes would be on the increase and appear in areas not used to tornado activity. And I quote from Zeta Talk, "Next 3.5 years," written September 15, 1999. "Massive tornadoes such as recently tore through Oklahoma will not go away, but will be on the increase and will occur in places that do not experience such tornadoes." End of the quote. Did this occur? By 2004, an increase in tornadoes was on record. And I quote from a NOAA report. "NOAA reports record number of tornadoes in 2004. The total number of tornadoes reported in the United States reached a record high during the year 2004, surpassing the previous record by almost 300. 1,717 tornado reports in the U.S. End of the quote. And by early 2006, this had gotten more extreme. And I quote from an internet posting, "CNN reporting 113 tornadoes in 24 hours. We had a tornado warning January 8, 2006, for for the northern part of Hawaii, Kauai to be exact. Highly unusual warning to make. I've been living here over 11 years, and many of my friends have lived here their whole life. All found tonight's news a bit bizarre. No warning. Just came in out of the blue and gone as quickly. And another posting. Here, January 7th, 2006, in South California, tornadoes touched down in five locations: Long Beach, Inglewood, Costa Mesa, Ladera Heights, and Whittier. End of the quote. As anyone living in California knows, California just doesn't have tornadoes. Here we have an increase in tornadoes, and they are appearing in areas not accustomed to seeing tornadoes. Hey, Zeta's right again. The Zetas also defined the linear increase in weather irregularities they had predicted since 1995 as swings and extremes, alluding to the Earth wobble to come in 2004. On May 4, 2002, they stated, and I quote from the Zeta Talk Quickening, written on May 4, 2002, "Weather irregularities will continue in the manner we have described since 1995, with increasing swings and extremes, in that weather irregularities are smoothed by nature by increased atmospheric activity or ocean currents. Temperature extremes will not occur. Rather, oscillating extremes, similar to what the world has already experienced, will occur. Sudden shift to cold weather, sudden unseasonably warm weather, and the like." End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Earth wobble, which set in earnest in early 2004, is caused by the tugging on the southern Atlantic Rift by Planet X, as the Atlantic Rift is a surface magnet running the length of the Atlantic, north to south. This in turn creates what the Zetas call weather wobbles, as the Earth is pulled under its blanket of atmosphere. By November 2004, violent swings were being noted. And I quote, "Storm strikes in heart of Europe, November 19, 2004. Winds gusting up to 180 kilometers, that's 112 miles, an hour, were recorded at Wendelstein in Bavaria. The massive storm also swept across Scandinavia on Thursday, disrupting land, sea, and air traffic." And another quote, "Up to 15 inches of rain caused flooding, forcing residents from homes in Texas. November 21, 2004. A storm that's parked over southern Texas has dumped 15 inches of rain on the town of El Campo, southwest of Houston. At one point, rain was coming down at a rate of 2.5 inches an hour. Forecasters say up to 20 inches of rain could fall before the storm starts to move." And I quote from another. "Southern California storm dumps snow even in desert regions. Dated November 22, 2004. The weather system, which developed in British Columbia and swept into California via Nevada, is called an inside slider for its rare approach to Southern California from the northeast instead of the typical route through the Pacific Ocean." And I quote from an email, "About 100-mile-an-hour gusty wind blew in Tokyo, December 5, 2004, and suburbs of Tokyo, damaging buildings and affecting all transportation. After this gusty wind, temperatures went up over 25 degrees centigrade, like a September climate. This is the highest temperature in December ever recorded." End of the quotes. So were the Zetas right about weather and temperature extremes switching about? Hey, what can I say? Zetas right again. On December 6, 2004, the Zetas explained why their prediction on weather extremes was related to a wobbling Earth. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Weather Wobble, written December 6, 2004. "If the Earth has been in a wobble since last May, at this early date a relatively gentle tug on the southern portion of the highly magnetized Atlantic Rift, was this a factor in the record typhoon and hurricane seasons? Most certainly. Now that a more violent polar wobble has started, will the weather be exempt? Hardly. Where the earth is pulled, the atmosphere is not, and lingers where it was while the crust moves beneath it. Accounts of sudden windstorms, unexpected and out of season, are occurring. Jerking the earth about under her cloak of air is also creating temperature changes. Will this trend continue and become more extreme? Why would it not, in an earth wobble that we have predicted will become more extreme, as Planet X swings its north pole, a hose of magnetic particles that cannot be ignored, toward Earth? Earth attempts to align with the dominant magnet in the solar system, the Sun, but can only do so in this instance when its own vulnerable North Pole is hidden from Planet X, that portion of the day when India faces the Sun. The push of the Earth's vulnerable North Pole away will occur with more violence, and rebound back to align with the Sun's dominant voice will occur with more violence, and the weather will follow. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Have the weather extremes become, well, more extreme since 2004? And I quote, "A string of storms gives parts of Sierra most snowfall in nearly 90 years. Dated January 9, 2006. The storm was the latest in a string of powerful systems that has dumped as much as 19 feet of snow in the Sierra and 6.5 feet in the Reno area since December 28th. Forecasters called the series of storms the snowiest in the Reno Lake Tahoe area since 1916. And a quote from the message boards. Something is definitely wrong with the weather. February 4th, 2006. It's the beginning of February here in northern New Hampshire. We should have several feet of snow on the ground and daytime temps in the 0 to 20 degree Fahrenheit range. Temps at night should be anywhere from 0 to 40 degree Fahrenheit below zero. And yet today it was sunny and 50 degrees Fahrenheit above zero. 2 weeks ago it hit 60 degree Fahrenheit. Night temps have been in the 20s and 30s. And from another internet posting. Our local weatherman said we got 2 summers worth of rain here in Florida in 5 hours on February 3, 2006. US 19 was closed for hours today because it was completely underwater. Our local weather dude said, and I'm paraphrasing here, folks, this one doesn't fall anywhere on the charts. This is no kind of normal. And from yet another posting. Close to Anchorage, Alaska, we're supposed to get 85-mile-per-hour wind gusts tomorrow through Sunday. I live on the Canadian West Coast, and we do have storms here, but nothing like what's been going on the last 10 days or so. It's just been one storm after another, mostly starting out with southeast winds and later shifting to the southwest. Coastal flood watch, swells over 35 feet have also been reported. And yet another from Seattle News. What may be the worst windstorm in several years is expected to batter Seattle today, with gusts up to 60 miles per hour. Gusts of 70 miles per hour are possible along the coast. And this dated February 4th, 2006. End of the quotes. So have the weather wobbles gotten steadily worse since they set in early 2004? Sure looks like it. Looks like Zeta's right again. Another aspect of the wobble affecting our weather is what it does to the oceans, creating sloshing and clashing air masses and giant waves, something the Zetas call storm clash. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Storm Clash, written February 18, 2005. Swirling in the oceans and the air will only increase, not only becoming more violent and following each other in short order, but also will begin slamming into each other, creating weather conditions utterly unpredictable and horrific in their consequences. Forecasters will be dismayed. Water on the move, finding a blockage before it, mounts high, on land termed a tidal bore, but in the ocean creating gigantic waves when the force of water moving in one direction meets another. These waves do not simply stand in place. They move in all directions, choppy and huge. The storm surge anticipated during major storms is predictable, coming from one direction, as is the wind. But what would be the effect of surges and wind coming from different directions, simultaneously, during such storms? This battering will tear buildings to pieces, send missiles from all directions to smash into each other, and the crush of water from more than one direction, crushing boats and barriers unlike the force of water on the move in a single direction. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And indeed, the 2005 hurricane season surpassed all others, one storm after another crossing the Atlantic. More named storms than ever, all the way to Zeta in the Greek alphabet, and breaking the record not only on number of storms, but also on ferocity. The giant waves predicted by the Zetas in February 2005 also appeared. And I quote, 70-footer hits New York-bound ship, dated April 17, 2005. The Norwegian Dawn, an opulent ocean liner almost 1,000 feet long, limped into Charleston, South Carolina yesterday afternoon after it hit vicious seas in an overnight storm off Florida, then was creamed by the rogue wave after dawn. The vessel, longer than 3 football fields, was suddenly smacked by the freak wave. End of the quote. Were the Zetas accurate about storm clash creating increased hurricane activity and giant waves? Hey, Zetas right again. Just as the Earth wobble that started in early 2004 has created weather wobbles from the Earth being dragged suddenly under its blanket of air, the Earth was likewise moved suddenly under its blanket of water, creating high tides. This was predicted by the Zetas in 2000. And I quote from Zeta Talk, during 2000, written January 12, 2000. We also predict, as we did last year, that there will be high tides, not tsunami following the earthquake, but unusually high tides. We also predict that there will begin to be reports of whirlpools in the oceans that will startle those who have never seen such a thing in the oceans. End of the quote. A dramatic example of this prediction coming true was reported in India in May 2005. And I quote, 15,000 flee as freak sea tide hits southern India. Dated May 22, 2005. At least 15,000 villagers were evacuated after a freak tide caused a surge of seawater in the southern India state of Kerala. At least 15,000 villagers were evacuated after a freak tide caused a surge of seawater in the southern India state of Kerala, triggering memories of December's devastating tsunami. Seawater crashed into fishing hamlets in several districts. Meteorologists did not say what caused the tide. District officials, with the help of the police, shifted people living in the coastal belt into 16 makeshift camps as seawater swept into their homes. The high tide had started receding, but people had been asked not to go out into the sea in their fishing boats. End of the quote. No explanation for the high tide, which was not a tsunami accompanying a quake, as the Zetas stated, just, quote, an unusually high tide. Hey, looks like Zeta's right again. In 1995, Zeta Talk stated that warming from the Earth's core was in process, ascribed wrongly to global warming of the air as the heat was coming from the core. And I quote from Zeta Talk, heralding, written July 15, 1995, all attempts to explain the changes based on global warming from the greenhouse effect will run into snags as the weather will refuse to be predictable. Areas of the world which have been deserts throughout mankind's memory will become swamps under constant and repeated rains. Temperature climates used to periodic gentle rainfall will suffer intractable droughts. Then this will switch about for no apparent reason. The reason lies deep within the Earth's core an area the meteorologists refuse to consider, and thus their predictions on the atmosphere will never be based on the right parameters. A key change which one could point to is the warming of the Earth's oceans around the globe. This has been measured as a 6-inch rise worldwide on all beaches. The waters have risen because they are warmer, and warm water takes up more room than cold water, as all elementary physics books will report. How is it that the oceans, so very deep and so very cold, have warmed up? Is it the almost imperceptible rise in the temperature of the air, a degree or so, as reported to date? Since heat rises, why would this slight rise affect the oceans? Meteorologists will tell you that the effect of air warming is air turbulence, not warmer oceans. The oceans are warmer because the core of the Earth has heated up, and it does so in response to its brother coming closer. This will continue and increase until sometime after the cataclysms are passed. End of the quote from Zeta 12. Very recently, scientists who ascribe to the global warming theory have admitted that the Earth changes they ascribe to global warming are proceeding faster than their models predicted. Way faster. And I quote, "Polar ice caps are melting faster than ever," dated March 26, 2006. "More and more land is being devastated by drought. Rising waters are drowning low-lying communities. By any measure, Earth is at the tipping point. The climate is crashing and global warming is to blame. Why the crisis hit so soon and what we can do about it. Never mind what you've heard about global warming as a slow-motion emergency that would take decades to play out. Suddenly and unexpectedly, the crisis is upon us." It certainly looked that way last week as the atmospheric bomb that was Cyclone Larry, a Category 5 storm with wind bursts that reached 180 miles per hour, exploded through northeastern Australia. It certainly looked that way last year as curtains of fire and dust turned the skies of Indonesia orange, thanks to drought-fueled blazes. End of the quote. Is the rise in temperature by a degree or so that making this happen? It's the heat coming from the core of the Earth, heating the rocks, the ground, from beneath. A recent article on the USGS states that snowmelt is occurring earlier in the northern climes, but later in the southern climes. Sorry, but that just doesn't compute in a global warming scenario. And I quote, "Snowmelt occurring earlier in North America," dated March 25, 2006. The USGS says eastern North America is having snowmelt and runoff into rivers earlier than it did in the first half of the 20th century. The study, published in Geophysical Research Letters, says flows in many rivers in the northern United States and Canada are occurring earlier by 5 to 10 days. Most rivers north of 44 degrees north latitude, roughly from southern Minnesota and Michigan through northern New York and southern Maine, showed earlier winter-spring stream flows. In contrast, many stations south of this line in Iowa, southern Wisconsin, and northern Illinois had later stream flows. End of the quote. So were the Zetas right that global warming would be used as the excuse for Earth changes resulting from the approach of Planet X and fail in this regard? What can I say? Zetas right again. By July 1995, Zeta Talk stated that the awakening of Earth to the alien presence would be increased UFO sightings, mass sightings, and capture on film or video. And I quote from Zeta Talk, "Sightings to increase," written July 1995. Where sightings are on the increase, just where and when they occur depends on many factors, only one of which is the desire by local inhabitants to experience one. Some sightings, such as the dramatic Mexico City sighting seen by thousands, and videotaped by hundreds, hasten the awakening by being broadcast and highly authentic. End of the quote. And again, a year later, in July of 1996, and I quote from Zeta Talk, Mass Sightings, July 16, 1996. In step with the increased pace of the awakening, sightings will become mass sightings, affecting the whole populace in crowded or urban areas. The media will suppress the news, but they cannot prevent neighbors from chatting with one another or gossip on the internet. The word gets out. End of the quote. By 2004, reports were flooding in. And I quote, intense UFO activity in Midwest and Canada, dated October 2, 2004. Strange beams of light are being observed in the Midwest and Canada. The National Weather Service theorized that the lights were moonbeams shining through the clouds. According to the National Weather Service, it was clear at the time of the incident. And another quote, UFO puts Portugal on military alert, dated June 4, 2004. The Portuguese press has announced that the Air Force is on alert since dozens of people saw a UFO. The Portuguese UFO is described as a silent, luminous object giving off white smoke. The National Air Traffic Control Authority stated the control tower in Porto detected a flying object which has been observed 25 minutes earlier in Montijo and Beja. Geologist José Fernando Monteiro says the UFO wasn't a meteorite, since the meteorite would have moved much faster and made a lot of noise. The European Space Agency says it wasn't a satellite. End of the quote. And from yet another country, in South Devon, in the UK, the switchboard at the Herald Express was swamped with calls from people who saw a cigar-shaped UFO. Retired British aerospace engineer Roy Dutton tracked the object for 20 minutes through a high-power telescope. There were no features whatsoever. It was jet black. It was flying at about 10,000 feet, and it was very big, at least the size of a jumbo jet. End of the quote. Showing the state of affairs in 2005 is a report from Mexico dated June 24, 2005. A massive UFO sighting took place on Friday, June 24, 2005, in Xalapa, Mexico. This stunning event was witnessed by Xalapa's governor, Fidel Herrero Beltran, members of his staff, many officers of the Xalapa Police Department, newspapers and television reporters, and many people gathered at Casa Veracruz for an official ceremony for the delivery of new police patrol cars to the police department. Just after Governor Fidel Herrera Beltran finished a speech inauguring the new units, his attention was called by his officials signaling to the sky where a strange spectacle was appearing. A spectacular UFO fleet of at least 14 unknown flying objects shocked the entire gathering at Casa Veracruz. The crowd pointed to the sky in a tremendous state of excitement. The police officers were also signaling to the sky, wondering what these unknown objects were. Governor Beltran took the microphone and said jokingly, "It seems the Martians have arrived." The enigmatic flying objects remained almost static in the sky in formation, describing a single triangle pattern in perfect alignment for almost 30 minutes. On Friday night, TV Azteca presented the report with videos on their national TV newscast, giving the account of the unprecedented incident. On Saturday, June 25th, the Diario de Xalapa newspaper, as well as others, published on main headlines. End of the quote from Mexico. Are matters on the increase? Oh yeah, Zeta's right again. On February 15th, 1998, Zeta Talk stated that the awakening of Earth to the alien presence would also include sightings of aliens themselves, fleeting glimpses at first. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Next Phase, written February 15, 1998. Each level of acceptance within a culture or country or worldwide allows another level of exposure to the general populace to ensue. Where at first sightings were undeniable, passing quickly and seen by few, and most often a single individual, this moved in late 1997 into a phase where sightings are seen by many, are vivid and undeniable, and even recorded on film or video. Still, they're being underreported by the media and denied by many in authority. Those in authority that realize the inevitable are seeking ways to give in gracefully, while those who are rigid in resisting what they deem a takeover by outsiders are still shrill and becoming increasingly ridiculous in their denials. The next stage will be glimpses of alien bodies, fleeting at first and then increasingly solid views. Watch for cries of demon from the religious elite and insanity from those clinging to the status quo. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. By August 2001, such sightings were really on the increase. A tiny flying alien spotted in Turkey, for instance. And I quote, "Tiny flying alien spotted in Turkey, dated August 2001. A field in Turkey has been sealed off by police after a villager claiming he saw a 2-foot-tall flying alien in a yellow suit. Fezzi Khan, his wife, and another woman said they spotted the alien on Monday morning as they rode on a tractor to a tobacco field. Mr. Khan said he threw stones at the creature, which was wearing a shiny yellow-gray outfit with a yellow light on the front. Regional Governor Ahen Sebek ordered police to protect the field near Narli in Uzak province, despite having doubts about the claim. He said, "We have more important matters to deal with, but we have no other choice. The area is being protected. We are waiting for the scientists." A team from Sirius, a Turkish UFO research group, is on its way to the scene. It will check radiation levels and analyze the soil. Two other villagers claim to have seen lights in the area at the same time as Mr. Cam saw the alien. He described it as just over 2 feet tall, with a wide, round head and wide eyes. He said, "It didn't have wings or a propeller, but it could fly upward." End of the quote from Turkey. And in March of 2006, this dramatic report from Argentina. Dated March 4, 2006. Argentina, policeman inexplicably vanishes for 20 hours. An officer of the cattle theft division vanished for nearly 20 hours. Found in a fetal position, Officer Cuchetta escaped Thursday night after having come across two small red-eyed creatures that chased him and gave him telepathic commands. He was found yesterday afternoon some 20 kilometers away from the site in a fetal position. On Thursday night, the young officer, having some 5 years' experience with the force, was driving a Honda 125cc motorcycle along the rural roads of Dorila. Amid this activity, Cuchetta requested backup over his cell phone at 21 hours, 20 minutes, from a site near the La Baracosa ranch. When a squad car arrived from General Pico, police only found Cuchetta's motorcycle and some of his belongings, including his firearm broken into 3 parts, his helmet, his handy, and the cell phone with which he had previously requested assistance. It was reported that Cuchetta had experienced a UFO episode near the La Baracosa and that he had in recent weeks been involved with a recording of strange lights in the company of others. Cuchetta's trail reached some 2,700 meters away from the site where the episode occurred, and the young man had no idea how he arrived at the location where he was rescued. Quote from Argentina. Note he was found 15 miles from the site where he disappeared. In that the search was ongoing for him from the time of his disappearance in the local area by his very own police department, he could not have been walking or running from the scene. They came within minutes. Where was he during his absence? So is conscious interaction with the alien life forms on the increase? What can I say? Zeta's right again. Vintage Zeta Talk, written November 1995, also reported that large triangular ships were not alien, but man-made, an attempt by the U.S. government to confuse the public about UFOs. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Triangular UFO, written November 15, 1995. An oft-reported UFO shape is the triangle, a ship that looks a bit like a fat boomerang. This is not only an aerodynamic shape, amenable to travel within an airspace, the shape also supports gliding. What the shape does not support is anti-gravity, the ability of a ship to evade the Earth's gravity by creating its own gravitational field. Triangular UFOs are therefore not alien, but are simply a type of airship produced by the U.S. government in secret. Why the secrecy, and why are these ships so often mistaken for UFOs? This is the point, as though they were constructed to be another stealth plane. Their ability to hover, pointing their jets downward, allows them to be mistaken for spaceships that have anti-gravity capabilities. Triangular UFO are being seen worldwide at this time to build a debunking case against all the mass sightings also occurring worldwide, in case this debunking should be deemed necessary to stop a panic over the alien presence. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. On April 9, 2005, a highly credible report came in about a sighting of English words on the bottom of one of these crafts. This from a very technical report. And I quote, English words identified on black triangular craft, April 9, 2005. On April 9, 2005, I saw what I believe to be a UFO in Comanche County, Texas, at 9:12 local time. I had my .243 Winchester Remington 700 varmint rifle. The rifle is set up with a high-tech Leopold optical sight, a scope, which is extremely accurate and highly specialized for great light-gathering ability and performs best in low-light conditions. I saw what I believe was a UFO passing almost directly overhead, making no sound whatsoever. I estimated its altitude to be somewhere around 800 feet and its airspeed approximately 30 miles an hour. It floated and did not fly, as it obviously had insufficient airspeed to fly. I am a physicist and an FAA licensed pilot. Its belly was V-shaped. I aimed my rifle at it and through the rifle scope, which was set at 8.5 power, I could clearly see surface detail in explicit detail. I could actually read it. It was white print outlined in black on a red arrow pointing toward a rectangle of sorts. The arrow pointed at something rectangular that I cannot define, but I could clearly read these three words, emergency release and rescue. End of the quote. There you have it. Unless aliens print and read English, this is exactly what the Zetas were describing. Even Peter Jennings, in his recent TV documentary on UFOs, gave these triangular craft a claim of being UFOs right up front. He led with this claim. Had Art Bell on talking about a sighting of this type of supposed UFO, showing drawings of this supposed UFO type, certainly giving the impression that these were real UFOs. Was Peter Jennings' documentary giving in to the government? He did trash Roswell, claiming it was a publicity stunt, though included the admission that Project Blue Book was simply a cover-up exercise. But he also stated that the U.S. government was allowed to preview and edit his release. So if the U.S. government wants you to think these triangular craft are alien, so they can debunk real sightings at some future point, as the Zetas claim, well, Peter Jennings certainly cooperated. Hey, Zeta's right again. NASA was surprised to find particles that had been formed in heat in the comet particles collected by their probe Stardust in 2004. Since the mythical Oort cloud was assumed to be cold, leftovers, floating in space, this did not compute. but it computes with the Zeta explanation. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Word Cloud, written January 15, 1996. Ah, the theoretical Word Cloud. It's not real. The majority of comets visiting your solar system return because they originated there during planetary breakups caused by the periodic passage of Planet X. Look to the nature of your solar system, the composition and shape of the planets. How would irregularly shaped chunks of ice, which in essence comets are, begin? The Earth was once a water planet, but lost much of her water following a collision with a traveling moon of Planet X. Where do you suppose her waters went? End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And what did NASA's Stardust mission find recently? And I quote, NASA finds another solar system mystery, dated March 14, 2006. NASA scientists have a new mystery to solve. How did materials formed by fire end up on the outermost reaches of the solar system, where temperatures are the coldest? The materials were contained in dust samples captured when the robotic Stardust spacecraft flew past the comet Wild 2 in 2004. A 100-pound capsule tied to a parachute returned the samples to Earth in January. The samples include minerals such as anorthite, which is made up of calcium, sodium, aluminum, and silicate, and diopside, made of calcium, magnesium, and silicate. Such minerals only form in very high temperatures. That's a big surprise. People thought comets would just be cold stuff that formed out where things are very cold, said NASA's curator, Michael Zelensky. It was kind of a shock to not just find one, but several of these, which implies they are pretty common in the comet. The discovery raises questions about where the materials in comets form, he added. One theory is that particles from the outer reaches of the solar system slowly move toward the sun, where they are set ablaze and then shot back out. A scientific model once suggested that might be a natural occurrence, but it wasn't accepted because materials tend to cluster in zones the farther out they are from the sun, Zelensky said. If the model were true, materials would mix more, the NASA scientist said. It raises a question of why we still see zoning in the asteroid belt. It's a big mystery now, Zelensky said. It's kind of really exciting. He said it's also possible that the comet particles could have been formed in another solar system and catapulted into our solar system. To determine where the particles originated, scientists are now studying their isotopic makeup. About 150 scientists worldwide have been studying the dust since it arrived. During the $212 million mission, the Stardust spacecraft looped around the sun three times to capture the interstellar and comet dust. The comet dust was captured in a silicon-based material contained in a tennis racket-sized collector mitt. The mothership, which has traveled nearly 3 billion miles, remains in permanent orbit around the sun. The next time it flies by Earth will be January 2009. Don Brownlee, a University of Washington astronomer who is the mission's principal scientist, said in a few weeks or months he and his colleagues hope to know more. It depends on whether the isotopic composition indicates these grains are from our solar system or from another star, he said. It's a really exciting mystery story, so stay tuned. End of the quote from NASA. They should just start reading Zeta Talk more and there would be fewer surprises. That's my opinion. What can I say? Zeta's right again. That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought. Those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.